Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point.
Hey, yeah, shall I lose that?
Brazil's musical group Afro Reggae was born of the streets of Rio de Janeiro's hard-life shanty towns, or favelas. Now Afro Reggae is trying to give back, to give inspiration, hope, pride, and a path to youth surrounded by too much violence, drugs, and poverty. It's culture versus violence in the tough streets of Rio. This hour on Point, Afro Reggae and Rio's favelas. You can join the conversation. Do you know Rio? The whole Rio? The favelas? Do you know Afro Reggae? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now from New York is Damian Platt, Nairobi-born, British. For nearly 10 years, he worked as a Brazil campaigner for Amnesty International. Then he was pulled into the world of the favela and Afro Reggae. His new book with Patrick Neat is Culture is Our Weapon, Making Music and Changing Lives in Rio de Janeiro. Damian Platt, welcome. Very good to have you with us.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
We're good, and you're taking us into a whole new world here. At one point in your table of contents, you call it a war zone, and many people say that about the favelas of Rio. But by the end, you say, you know, these days when you look at it, you see mostly laughter. So what is this world, Damian?
It's a complex world, as you just illustrated with those two examples. It's basically a world where you've got more than 2 million residents living in very vibrant, very colourful communities with lots of stuff going on. They're, by and large, very hard-working people who do the menial jobs and the lower-paid jobs in the city. They're aspirational communities of people who want to get ahead and are trying to educate themselves to get ahead in life. And at the same time, because they're favelas and therefore informal in the city, they suffer from the problems presented by the fact that they're controlled by these groups of these gangs, which are called drug factions in Rio, which are generally run by youths who carry around weapons and on the street, and generally they control that territory that those people live in.
Damien,
so it's a sort of topsy-turvy situation.
Yeah, I guess vibrant and colorful and deadly and dangerous all at the same time. I wish you'd describe the kind of topography of it for us, because I wish I knew better. I wish I knew firsthand, but I and maybe a lot of listeners, what we know are these beautiful photographs of Rio with its beautiful hills and the beautiful beaches and the kind of high-rise apartments there. And then we see those hillsides and the kind of murky life in the photographs. I don't know what's going on there. Where's the cosmopolitan life of Rio? Where's the favela? How do they just geographically relate?
Well, in the south of the city, which is the main part of the city, and which is the postcard area in Rio, which is what you're talking about, where you have the beaches, the high rises,
Ipanema, and Copacabana, all that.
Ipanema, Copacabana, São Conrado is another area which is has the famous Rocinha favela looking down on it. And Rocinha is estimated to have a population of more than 100,000, and it climbs the hill up behind São Conrado, behind the shopping centers and the fashionable buildings.
So the glitzy and life is there on the level ground and on the hillside. It's the shanty town right there.
Yeah, it's the shanty town, but I mean, it's not all gloomy in the shanty town. The houses are nearly all brick now. People have quite a decent quality of life if they've got a reasonable house to live in. And there's lots of businesses in Rocinha. They've actually got, last time I was there, I saw an 8-story business block that had each floor was rented out for different people to run businesses from. So they look from a distance. They can look sort of threatening and dirty, but when you're inside, They're very nice places to be in many ways.
So we take your point entirely, and we'll hear this in the music as well, but there's vibrant life here. There are also real problems here. I'm looking at Rio, top-ranked city in the world for violent, intentional deaths. And here's John Lee Anderson in The New Yorker magazine quoting Alfredo Cercas, a prominent Rio politician, saying Rio is one of the very few cities in the world where you have whole areas controlled by armed forces that are not of the state. That's unusual.
Yes, it's very unusual, and it's very difficult for people to live in that situation. And I think most difficult of all is for the favela residents who have to come and go under the scrutiny of these armed guys. They might have drugs being sold on their doorsteps. The police are also involved. They collude with the gangs sometimes, or other times they come in and repress them, and there's very violent shootouts. And then more recently in the west of the city, there have been the rise of militias, which are paramilitary groups mainly made up of off-duty police and firemen and their friends, who have driven out the drug traffic and have set up and taken control of these areas. And instead of selling drugs, they're charging for all the informal services, so informal transport. If you sell a house, you have to pay them a percentage. So it shows that it's not all about drugs. It's as much about armed groups taking control of territories and reaping the profits of that they can get in those areas.
Out of all that comes Afro Reggae with a really interesting footprint here, an interesting history. Let's hear a little bit of their music. Here's a song called Tobolado, I Am Confused. It goes back to a police massacre of innocent civilians years back near the birth of Afro Reggae. You'll tell us, but let's listen to a bit. So there's Afro Reggae, and they're talking, they're singing about history, Damien. Can you tell us what's
That's
up here?
Right. Yeah, the bolado in Rio slang, actually it's like a word for really angry. It's like if someone is really annoyed, they'll say, to bolado, to bolado. And what the words of the song, in like so the opening lines, what Anderson, the vocalist, is saying, in Vigário Geral, Somo Real Trabalhador, he's saying, Vigário Geral, the people who died were workers, meaning innocent people.
This was a favela, a shanty town, where 21 were killed. What were the circumstances?
This was in 1993, and the Vigário Geral at the time, which is a favela, a flat favela. You were asking about the topography earlier. It's a flat favela on the outskirts in the north of the city, where it's a very different sort of setup. It's flat suburbs, and the favela areas are also flat.
There had been an attack on police here, and police just came in and started shooting.
Yeah, there was a drug trafficker there who killed four corrupt cops in sort of revenge shooting. And as a result of that, a day later, 21 people were killed by a group of police who came in at night. And they didn't find any drug traffickers, so it seems that they took their revenge out on innocent people and killed 21 people. And that was an event that drew the people who were working with Afro Reggae already, because it began life as a newspaper a few months before, and they were drawn into that community as a result of what happened for meetings, and they began their first cultural workshops there.
Now Afro Reggae is a group that's opened, played with the Rolling Stones and got all kinds of international acclaim. What was the opening impulse here? Who started it?
Well, the opening impulse was a group of people got together and started a newspaper called Afro Reggae News, which talked about Afro-Brazilian culture and social issues. And after the massacre, that group of people, along with other members of civil society in Rio, began to go to Vigário Geral, and they found out that this was a community where the drug traffic ruled, there were no leisure options available for young people, and so they started to offer activities, and they literally started just with percussion, with any old thing. And they found out that there was such a need among young people to have a distraction that it immediately became very popular and just grew and grew. That was in 1993, and already by 1995, they'd opened their first cultural center, and Caetano Veloso, the singer, came and became a godfather of the group.
So what's their point now? What are they aimed at doing? What can they do against all the... There's millions of people and plenty of guns and plenty of drugs and violence. What's Afro Reggae setting out to do? How much can it do?
Yeah, I think what they can do is stand as an example to show that these communities have something else to offer, that they're not merely crime-infested places. And they stand as a reference to young people that there are alternatives, because the drug traffickers enjoy such huge status in the communities that all the young boys and the young guys want to be like them. And what Afro Reggae has is a symbolic value, saying, no, there are other ways out of this. They actually have five cultural centres in five different favelas, so they probably have an impact in the region of attending communities where up to 100,000 people live in total. They also enjoy a high profile in the media, so they've got a, they have an important symbolic value in Rio society as well.
And culture is our weapon is the title of your book, meaning it's about, in some ways, it's all they have to hold up against the violence, but they hold it up strong.
Yeah, it's about culture being an alternative, culture being a neutral way of bringing people together, because as much as standing up and being known, they like to bring people inside the favelas to visit them. And they've enjoyed a status that's recognized by the drug gangs themselves as neutral. So it means that they can go between different favelas, which in Rio, if you are from one favela controlled by gang A, you can't go to a place controlled by gang B. It's completely against the rules. But Afro Reggae has managed to open up spaces and as an institution can move within all these different sort of warring regions controlled by warring groups. And they also work with the police. They've said, you know, the we're not anti-police, we will work with good police as well. So they use culture as a way of bringing people together.
The Olympics, the Olympic Games coming to Rio in 2016, the world's attention will turn more and more. Damien Platt's paying very close attention already. His new book is Culture is Our Weapon, Making Music and Changing Lives in Rio de Janeiro. You can join the conversation. Do you know the favela life of Rio? Have you seen the violence, the drugs, the poverty, the vibrancy there? Have you heard the Afro-Reggae call to a better way? 800-423-8255 is our number. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right away. Right back. Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point. We're talking this hour about the rough side of Rio and Afro-Reggae, the vibrant cultural movement to take on poverty and violence in the hard streets of urban Brazil, of Rio de Janeiro. Damien Platt is with us. He's co-author of the new book, Culture is Our Weapon, Making Music and Changing Lives in Rio de Janeiro. He's been there right in the heart of it. Behind us right here, The Watercolor of Her, by Afro Reggae. It's a band, it's a movement, an NGO. You can join the conversation this hour. What do you think? Can music turn a community around, help it stand up? Have you been to this side of Rio, a world apart from Ipanema and the downtown carnival? And is Afro Reggae Brazil's African roots shining through, standing up? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. And I should say, thanks to the good translation, Portuguese translation graces of my WBUR colleague, Monica Brady-Meyerhoff, you can read excerpts of Afro-Reggae's lyrics in her English translation at our website, onpointradio.org. Damien Platt joins us from New York. And Damien, we've got a lot of callers. Let's go to Shanti in Long Island, New York. Shanti, you're on the air.
Greetings, Tom.
Hi.
Nice to hear a beautiful topic being discussed now. I grew up in an equivalent of a favela, what's called the projects of New York City and Harlem.
Yeah.
And I will agree very wholeheartedly. I have more of a statement than a question.
Mm-hmm.
That music is the one thing that helped me and a few of my siblings get out of the poverty and the violence that exists in what we have similar here, which is, you know, what is called the projects of New York City.
Tell us how that works, Shanti. How does music make a ladder out? Or what do you mean exactly?
Music transcends what your own, you know, my culture was Puerto Rican, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And if I wouldn't step outside of the Puerto Rican salsa music and stepped into, let's say, Indian Hindu chanting music and American rock and roll, then I wouldn't have been able to even communicate with other people about other subjects other than what I knew about Latin music and Harlem. So I think music and being exposed to other types of music, whether it's jazz or, you know, other styles, that it allows you to then step outside your zone and speak to other people, to look at other people as similar to you because you can make music in the same way.
Shanti, that's great. It's a great description of the sort of rungs of the ladder that music can offer if you're there. And we're really grateful for your call. Let me get one more right here. Thank you, Shanti. JC in Columbia, South Carolina. JC, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, I've been to Rio many times and to Sao Paulo and other parts of Brazil. Usually, at first, just as a tourist, and in the last 15 years as an interpreter for a high-tech sports video crew. I'm looking forward to going back in 2016 and in years preceding that to help people understand what Rio is like. And Rio will be changing some over the next 10 years or next 6 years. The favelas are not always particularly a world apart from the beaches. Copacabana is very proximate to some favelas, but yes, as far as the lifestyle, they certainly are a world apart. There's a lot of commingling. There's still a lot of crime in the streets. There's that's favela-based, if you will. But that doesn't mean that the favelas are evil or bad places that need to be wiped out. Some of the problem in Sao Paulo has been governmental intrusion in moving favelas. I think that this project sounds very interesting. I want to hear more about it. And I firmly believe, as a professional musician, that music can change us. Just the non-lyrical music itself can, but well-selected lyrics, which is something they've been doing in Brazil since at least the 1970s, especially with their literacy campaign tied to recordings, that lyrics should be included in with the albums.
JC, we're very glad for your view on that. And Shanti, before you, I mean, there's a song you've pointed us to, Damien, from Afro Reggae, that goes right to this. It's called, we'll hear a little bit, it's called Capa de Revista. It means magazine cover, talking about negative media stereotyping of favelas and their portrayal as dangerous places. Capa de Revista magazine cover, and part of what they're saying, yes, there's all the gun imagery there, but also it's a new era. This is a new style of a group where no one can hold you back. Damien Flatt, you have Quincy Jones right at the, of course, famous American music impresario and producer, saying, no matter where you are in the world, the ghetto is the ghetto. I grew up on the south side of Chicago during the Great Depression, and there was something uncomfortably familiar about visiting Afro Reggae in Rio for the first time. Heard Shanti, growing up in Harlem, is it the same? Is it different? How do you look at those comparisons, maybe even with the rough side of your own London, Damien?
I think there are similarities, and every country has its areas which are more marginalized, and especially nowadays, I think there are more common points between young people across the world, and that's something I've traveled with Afro Reggae. I've been to Germany with them. I've been to London, Liverpool. I've watched them work in schools in Hackney. Yes, and Whitechapel, some of the more complicated parts of East London. Mm. And what you see is there is an affinity between young people. They do have similar pressures nowadays. They all want the same thing, really. And I think especially with the drug trade that has brought similar problems to similar cities, especially here in the US with the culture of drug selling on corners. Yesterday we did an event here in New York, and we had an organization called the Brotherhood Sister Soul, which is actually from Harlem, who sent a group of teenagers to Vigário Geral, and I was actually there that day, and it was great. So I think Afro Reggae, through music and through its story and through traveling, has discovered that there are similarities in all countries, regardless of whether one country is much richer or poorer, or considered richer or poorer.
But it's hard sometimes. It's certainly hard for the media to hold both images in their hands of the hard, violent, drug-ridden place and the place where you talk about vibrancy. I mean, there's a real test of dynamics here, a real contest. Dorothy in Naples, Florida. Dorothy, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Hi. I'm Brazilian. I grew up in Rio. Mm-hmm. I go back once a year. What a wonderful thing it would be if Afro Reggae could change the dynamic the culture of violence that exists in Rio now. But I have a cousin visiting me, and we were listening to your program, and she just started laughing. I think it's...
Because it's, why?
Because she feels, as I do somewhat, that it's naive to think that culture of violence will change in 6 years through music. I would love to see it happen. I'm not sure it will. Favelas are cities onto themselves. The police are afraid to go into them. They go in only as SWAT teams with, you know, armored materiel. It's everyone I know that lives in Rio or São Paulo has been held up, including myself. Has been mugged. The police, in my case, wouldn't even take a police report. It's just the police perpetuate the violence by attempting to eradicate the more violent people by just destroying them. I'm not really sure what the solution is.
Is it two nations, Dorothy? You're Brazilian, but would you go into the favelas of Rio, or are you a different color, different class? You couldn't
would
or wouldn't
never go in. No, I'm Caucasian.
What does that say about you or your country?
What it's my country to speak about my country like is no. If you go to Recife, you go to Salvador, you go to Fortaleza, you go to down south to Curitiba, that doesn't exist. It's much more in Rio and São Paulo, certainly much more in Rio than anywhere else. When Rio won the Olympics, I celebrated with my fellow Brazilian friends, but a part of me just said, oh, my goodness, let's hold our breaths. Let's see what happens during the World Cup. I don't know. But yay for Afro-Reggae. I hope that it is a powerful force for change.
Dorothy, thank you for your call, a Brazilian perspective. Damian Platt, what do you say to that? Dorothy's kind of shaking her head at the notion that, you know, it can be fixed, turned around, that Afro-Reggae can, you know, is up to the challenge.
I think Dorothy is right. You need to be skeptical. I don't think we're not saying that Afro-Reggae alone through making music is going to change a situation that's come about as the result of centuries of development. But I think it's a cause for optimism. I think for real change in Rio to take place, you need all spheres. You need the government. You need civil society. You need more integration. But what I think Dorothy described right quite well, there's... this sort of paralysis, which is based on a situation of fear of the other. There's the favelas up there, but we can't go in. They're dangerous. And that needs to be broken down. And I'd say Afro-Reggae are taking the first step towards doing that. But of course, you need more time, more investment. But I think there's definitely optimism in Rio now, although it continues very violent. There is a sense in the air that there's a chance for change. And I think Afro-Reggae represents that. And I think that people reading this book might find that too.
Here's a track from Afro-Reggae, No Motive for War. This song features a tie-in to still two British artists. Damien helped get involved with Afro-Reggae. The sounds have come out of that that meeting.
We don't need no more trouble.
No Motive for War from Afro-Reggae. Tim in Boston, you're on the air, Tim.
Thank you for taking me. I just wanted to say that this Afro-Reggae movement inspired me to a career in urban education in Boston. I wrote my senior capstone paper on based on the movie Favela Rising, and I showed it to a group of middle school students in Dorchester. And
this is a documentary that features some of Afro-Reggae in it. Favela Rising,
right. Exactly. And in the eyes of my students, there was many relevant parts of life in Rio to them. And I had one particular student who was already immersed in hip-hop culture, and he wrote one of the most illustrative songs that I've ever seen from anyone, and he was only in seventh grade, just drawing references from his life to this movement in Brazil. And I think it's just really relevant to look at urban hip-hop culture as a tool for development for youth, and not just the things that we see, the negative connotations we see in the media, because as you can see in Rio, this is a major movement for cultural revitalization through dance and music. And I think in the United States, here at home, it can have the same impact that it has there.
To develop pride in that community. Tim, thank you very much for that report. And Marcio in Woburn, Massachusetts. Marcio, you're on the air.
Hello, Tom.
Hello. What do you know?
Hi, how are you? I would like to make a comment. I'm originally from Brazil, and originally from Santos, São Paulo, and I lived nearby a favela, and I had a lot of friends from it, and most of them, they had a real hard time for getting jobs because from where they lived. So I would like to make a comparison between, like, the U.S., people that live in, let's say, in the projects, you know, and if they have a hard time to get a job just because of from where they live.
Marcio, does, in Brazil, in your experience, does color come into it, skin color?
Correct, especially if you are black and from the favelas, because most of the people there from the favelas, they mostly, if not, it's mixed like me, you know,
mm-hmm.
like my grandfather is black and my grandmother is like mixed. Also, mm-hmm.
yep.
most of the Brazilians, we have, you know, some sort of descent, black descent.
But you know that that experience intimately, it sounds like. Damien, what about race? It's Afro-reggae here. Is this partly a shout-out to Brazilians with strong Afro roots?
Yeah, I think it's about claiming and maintaining a pride in your sense of Afro-Brazilian identity, which, as Marcio said, people, if you're from a favela, it's already a problem. If you're black and from a favela, it's already even more difficult. So I think Afro-reggae is about trying to turn some of those stereotypes on their head.
Is that a conversation that is open and regular in Brazil? Do people talk about color as an issue or a problem there? We think of Brazil as kind of all mixed up that way, and happily so, but maybe we're naive.
I think there is a sort of stereotypical impression of Brazil that it's the multicolored rainbow nation. There are many different shades. There's one thing you'll find in Brazil is people differentiate themselves by shade very much. There are many different shades of black, and people who are in other places you might be considered black in Brazil wouldn't consider themselves black. So it's actually very complex. But most of my friends who are dark black in Brazil, if you give them a chance, they'll tell you that they have a hard time.
Damien Platt, please stand by in New York. We've got a lot more callers here. We're going to hear more voices from Brazil and more music from Afro Reggae. The new book is Culture is Our Weapon, Making Music and Changing Lives in Rio de Janeiro. Listeners, you can join us this hour, 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. American listeners, Brazilian listeners, what do you hear in the Afro Reggae movement? We'll go out of this segment with Pegajusu, Sticky from Afro Reggae. Damien Platt, stand by. I'm Tom Ashbrook. We're at 800-423-8255. We'll be right back. Ele é bicho pegajoso, ele tem mais de gostoso. O que é que é?
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the rough side of Rio and Afro Reggae, the vibrant cultural movement to take on poverty and violence in the streets of urban Brazil, of Rio. You know, the Abadá behind us right here. You can join the conversation this hour. Do you know the favela life of Rio de Janeiro? And how will the favelas, Afro Reggae and all, meet the 2016 Olympics? We're at 800-423-8255. Damian Platt is with us, co-author of the book Culture is Our Weapon, Making Music and Changing Lives in Rio de Janeiro. Lots of listeners want to hear, want to get on. Roger, Boston, you're on the air, Roger.
Hey, Tom, I'm not going to pretend like I know much about the favelas in Brazil. I just wanted to make a quick observation from what I hear.
Okay.
It sounds to me the idea of, I don't know, prescribing this music, this Afro reggae music, to treat the problem of poverty and crime related to a black market demand for drugs and other services. I think it's a little naive to believe that introducing this new wave of music is really going to change a problem stemming from a demand for jobs and drugs.
Yeah, and that's just the beginning, maybe, Roger. I mean, I'm reading here, Brazil, I don't know about these, but it says in Brazil, 50% of the country's wealth held by 1% of the people. That's tough. We'll pick it up. Let me get another. Michelle, West Hartford, Connecticut. Michelle, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
How are you?
Very well.
I would like to really thank you for this. I heard reggae, and I'm like, what, reggae? I'm Jamaican, and I want to tell two of your callers, Dorothy and your last caller, they are so wrong. The power of reggae music is incredible. I've seen it change my island of Jamaica. Bob Marley introduced it to the world, and it's just been incredible. It's an incredible music. It's roots and culture. It teaches you to be proud of who you are and what you have. First commences. That's my comment.
Let me ask you, it bucks up a person's spirits and their pride. Does it change their economic circumstances or their safety?
It all depends on what it is that can be made with your hand,
mm-hmm.
what you can grow to feed your family.
Mm-hmm.
We have really bad violence in Jamaica, and we still do. I'm not going to pretend that mm-hmm. all is kumbaya down there,
yep.
but the big change in that Bob Marley brought when he brought our two warring political parties on the stage and the three of them holding hand, that is the most powerful thing, and it just changed everyone's look on as to where this country can go. And we do have our natural resources, and we do grow things.
Yeah. Outlook is not everything, but it is powerful, absolutely. And one more. Thank you, Michelle. Christiana, Arlington, Massachusetts. Christiana, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
So I grew up in Rio, in Ipanema, and I've been away from living in Brazil for about 17 years, but I go back often. And I do think this is wonderful, this new musical movement. I think it's extremely important as a new source of hope for young children that grow up in unprivileged communities, because there's a lot of misconception about favelas, and there's all different kinds of favelas. The favelas around the noble parts of Rio are mostly up in the mountains, and they're very big, but they are not. There's a lot of conflict because they're among, the rich neighborhoods.
Sure.
There's a lot of favelas away from the on the outskirts of the noble parts of Rio, and even when I was back in Brazil, used to be that they would hold huge music parties, sort of like in warehouse type of places. And it was basically like huge parties that, yes, people from, you know, young kids, white kids would go to those parties, and they were violent, but they were not, it was not their music. They would play, you know, hip-hop or American music.
Cristiano, we got it, but you see hope in the music, and we are glad for that, especially you being from Ipanema. One more, Sarasota, Florida. Michael, you're on the air, Michael.
Hey, Tom. I wanted to tell a quick story to you, and I wanted to say a quick welcome to Damien. I was in San Paulo about 2 years ago, and I kind of lost my way, and I ended up in a burbello, and I was assaulted by several men with a pistol, and they grabbed my backpack, and these people ran out of their home and actually beat them off of me, and one person in broken English said, "This is not Brazil. This is not the way we are." And I was, as I was walking away, battered and bruised, I remember hearing this music that I could never identify with until I heard it today. And I think that music does empower people. It gives us direction, and it gives us motivation to be who we really are. Thank you very much.
Michael, we're very glad for your call. With that, let's hear a little bit more from Afro Reggae. Here's Benedito about a drug trafficker. Benedito.
Ogunye, Kaokabisile Xangô.
Que vem, que vai, que vai, que vem. Depois que a dona Lili te dá boa noite, não tem como não cruzar com ele. Toda esquina tem o meio pilintra, meio vapor.
Benedito from Afro Reggae, drug dealer, but the lyrics turn to this. Today's a full moon. Today I get up to fight. Today I get up to see around there what would be a solution from Afro Reggae. Damien Platt, author of Culture is Our Weapon, joins us from New York, and we're joined right now as well from North Dartmouth, Massachusetts, by Dario Borim. He is associate professor, chair of the Department of Portuguese at the University of Massachusetts in Dartmouth, hosted weekly live radio program called Brazilians, dedicated to the music of Brazil. Dario Borim, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure, Tom.
So, give us your take on it. What do you make of Afro Reggae, its importance in Rio and beyond?
Well, I think one thing that people tend to forget, the people that have shared their opinions, is that this is more than music. But music is already huge in Brazil. I think, let's start that way.
Mm-hmm.
Here in the U.S., I believe people do not understand how music is powerful in other cultures.
But it seems pretty big here in the U.S. What do you mean? How can it be bigger than the nonstop?
But it's even bigger there.
Wow.
Musicians in Brazil stand for the same role that Hollywood figures have in this country. And so they have political power. And that's a tradition of many, many decades, since the beginning of the 20th century. So music does change society, at least in Brazil. And it has an impact on people, and it shows that people can be ignorant about other people, so they reevaluate their opinions, their concepts. But this movement is more than music. It's a movement of social implications, of social transformation, and I think it's wonderful.
You know, maybe I've put it in too stark a terms, I mean, because the argument's sort of begun to wind around whether or not it can change or save the favelas.
Yeah.
Maybe that's too much to ask.
Of course.
But still, the importance is social transformation. What does that mean to you in the Brazilian Rio context?
Well, think about it. Think of 100 youth, 100 kids who think differently from the way they used to think about themselves, who thought that they could only be drug traffickers. But suddenly, they learn, they believe, and they go for the opportunity of becoming musicians, artists, painters, songwriters. This has a cascade effect in the very local community. But it goes beyond when the media launches new images of favela, when the media worldwide shows that in favela there are people who are just people. They're wonderful people in the favelas. Just that. If only the world learned for a moment that in favelas live wonderful people, kind, and powerful and honest.
Damien, is that a question in Brazil? Do a lot of Brazilians look at the favelas and say, oh boy, it's all trouble in there? Is there a stereotyping problem?
There's a terrible stereotyping problem, and I think Dario's right. Some of the best people I've met in Rio come from favelas. It's where the muscle of the city is. It's the people who built the city. Listening to what Dorothy said, she has a quite regular Carioca-style view, which is like, you know, the favelas are a problem. We never go there. And what's always surprises me and is interesting about some Cariocas is they never go to a favela, but they have someone from a favela clean their house and drive their car.
What's the Portuguese phrase you're using there? What's the Portuguese phrase you're using?
Carioca. Carioca meaning? Is someone from Rio. So there's this funny relationship. At the same time, the favelas are a problem and a threat, and they're violent and dangerous. But how, if they're so bad, then why is someone from a favela cleaning your house?
Yeah. Ed in Boston, you're on the air, Ed.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
And hi to your guest, Damien. I just have a short comment. Listening to the discussion, I share the views from those who are very hopeful that this will change something in Brazil, and those who are quite skeptical. And takes my mind to a documentary that I saw about a year, maybe 2 years ago, called Democracy in Dakar. Mm-hmm. And it follows a hip-hop movement in Dakar, just...
In Senegal, in Senegal, in West Africa.
Mm-hmm. West Africa, in the run-up to the elections. And one thing about Senegal and pretty much Africa is that above 55, maybe 60% of the population is under 30 years. And hip-hop and music is reaching out to these people. And you can see how it's politically conscientizing them and to think about what they do at elections, what they vote for.
So even across the water, back in Africa, you're seeing something like that. It's interesting how people weigh this. Ed, thank you very much. Some say this is important. Some won't buy it. Adriana, Sharon, Massachusetts, you're on the air, Adriana.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Pretty well. What do you know?
I think it's beautiful to think, like, music can change. I'm a musician myself. I'm a classical musician. I play cello.
Are you from Brazil, Adriana?
Yes, I'm from São Paulo.
Ah, okay.
But one comment, the problem is so, so much deeper than that. To start with the police, for example, if Brazil doesn't change and educate the police, nothing is going to change because police, they don't have education, they are very corrupt, they don't make enough money, and they give power to people that have no education. So if this problem doesn't change, I don't think music can do much. It's nice, comforting, but it's not real, and I think it's dangerous for tourists to hear that this can change in 6 years. I don't think so, unfortunately.
Adriana, we've got it. Let's hear a little more Afro-reggae. This is Coisa Guinigo. It's a black thing. O tema nos convida a pulsação da ao compasso. Venha com estilo e domine seu espaço. Não tem dia, não tem hora, em qualquer lugar. Na rua, nas esquinas, você quem faz o clima. Ativa nosso instinto, atrai a multidão. Melodia e poesia, é coisa de negão. Seu tempo, deixa ele passar. Se jogue para dentro, vamos celebrar. Delícia, seu tempo, deixa ele passar. Se jogue para dentro, vamos celebrar. Se você gosta de dançar, escute o som do bom e vem se balançar. Melody is poetry, it's a black thing. Damien Platt, as you listen to all this kind of interesting back and forth on, you know, what weight people are willing to give the Afro-reggae effort, I wonder what's going through your mind.
Yeah, I mean, there's been lots of interesting points, I'm very impressed with people's knowledge. I think what was going through my mind just now is that the book is really, it's how Junior, who's one of the founders of Afro-Reggae, described it. He said it's a book about Rio and Afro-Reggae is the protagonist. I think Afro-Reggae are there to represent people, but also to pose questions. And I think anyone who reads the book will see that we talk to police, we talk to people from government, we talk to ex-drug traffickers, we talk to normal Rio residents. And I think there are a lot of questions raised by the book. I think, obviously, Afro-Reggae aren't going to change society on their own. And for any society to change, it needs general, broad support. It needs political will. And there are lots of factors. But I do think that they are a sign that there is light in the tunnel and that Rio's turning the page.
Dario, how do you see it? Do you see this cultural movement intersecting with the politics, intersecting with the economy in a way that's not that's more than spirit, more than pride, just a change?
Well, if you think that people vote and Brazil is a democracy, then there's hope at that level, too, especially when the movement spreads consciousness, awareness, and does away with ignorance and fear and prejudice. And those are valid tasks and goals, I believe. And Afro-Reggae does what Olodum does to a great extent in Salvador, Bahia, you know, which is to see people as resources and not only look at problems, but they look at solutions. They propose ways out of despair, out of a lack of hope, and that's marvelous. If the middle class of Brazil could understand its surrounding better and see that there are people with great potential everywhere in the country, not just in their little homes, you know, I think this would be a great thing, too.
Here's one more from Jose. It says, I grew up in the favela in Brazil. Bob Marley's a big icon in the favelas. These people are grasping at whatever hope they can. It's hard to make light of that, and if I guess, which means we don't make light of Afro-Reggae. Dario Borim, host of Brazilians, weekly live radio program dedicated to the music of Brazil, chair of the Department of Portuguese at the University of Massachusetts, Dartmouth. We're very grateful to you for being with us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom.
And Damian Platt, for all of your work in Brazil and in Rio, and for your new book, Culture is Our Weapon, Making Music and Changing Lives in Rio de Janeiro. We're very grateful to you, Damian. Thanks for joining us from New York.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me along.
Listeners, thanks for all your calls and interesting insights. We'll go out with Afro-Reggae and organic poetry. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
Chega, 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 chega